Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus, and from the Spirit that they send us. What percentage of Christians volunteer? What percentage of Christians volunteer either in their church or in their community? What percentage of Christians volunteer in their church or their community? According to Lifeway Research, a Christian research company, the number is 70. It's 70% that do not volunteer in their church or their community, which leaves 30%, 3 out of 10 people that volunteer in church or community. 30%. Seems a low number, doesn't it? But I know from my 50 years of experience in pastoral ministry that's the number. 3 out of 10. Now, there's many reasons for that. Sometimes people don't have the transportation to get to wherever they might be volunteering. Sometimes it seems that they don't know about the opportunities they have to serve, and so they miss them. Sometimes they have other priorities, important priorities, good priorities, taking care of their family, taking care of their aging parents. And, yeah, sometimes Christians just don't want to be involved. Sometimes Jesus doesn't mean that much to them. But we're not going to talk about any of those reasons for not being involved. We've got another one here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And St. Paul says to us, sometimes Christians don't get involved because they don't think they've got anything to offer. Or even worse, because they've got other Christians who are saying to them they don't have anything to offer. Maybe because, well, they're too old or too young, or they're not bright enough, or they don't have the right training, or, well, that list goes on and on. But God's message to us today through St. Paul is, be busy with the task, with your task. And we're going to spell your in capital letters, because that means you and the gifts and the abilities and the experiences that God has given to you. Be busy with that. So you don't have to be like anybody else. You don't have to be like Paul or Apollos. Just be you. Be who God has created you to be. And do it because of how much He loves you in Jesus. That's where we're going with our sermon today. So what about that first part? Don't try to be like Paul or Apollos or anybody else. You don't have to be like those people. You probably already know that the people who were in the congregation in Corinth created some huge issues in that church. Paul wrote to them twice to try to sort those issues out. And one of those issues was that the Corinthian congregation was picking up sides. They were big enough where they had a number of religious leaders in that congregation. Paul mentions Apollos, Pastor Apollos. A couple of verses after our text, he mentions somebody else, Cephas. Now, Cephas was probably the Apostle Peter. But they're picking up sides, and they're saying, oh, man, Pastor Apollos, he's my guy. When he preaches, I mean, the guy preaches for an hour at a time. But boy, I could sit there for 2 hours. He's that good, even on a hot day. And others are saying, what are you talking about, Apollos? No. It's Pastor Cephas. Man, that guy is such a Bible scholar. When I sit at his feet, I realize that he is taking treasures out of God's Word that I didn't even know were there. It's remarkable. What a man of God. He's my pastor.
And of course, the message then to Paul or any of the other religious leaders that were in that congregation was, Paul, you don't have it. Apollos is so much better than you are. Cephas is so much better than you are. You don't measure up, Paul. Why do you even try? And to that, Paul, with a rhetorical shrug of his shoulder, says, what are you talking about? Of course I've got a role in the kingdom. Of course I do. Now, it's not the same role as Apollos or Cephas or anybody else, but God has given me a role specially built for me. He's made me a unique individual in the kingdom so that I could serve in a unique way. I don't have to be like anybody else. We hear Paul say, so what is Apollos and what is Paul? They are ministers through whom you believe. They're people that are caring for you spiritually, people who brought you faith in Jesus and now continue to help you in your discipleship. But they are what? Ministers. Servants is a Greek word there, or even slave. Now, in the city of Corinth, slavery was just a fact of life. And so the Corinthians would have recognized that Paul was saying, my relationship with God is much the same as somebody who owns slaves. Probably a number of people there in the Corinthian congregation owned slaves. A number of them were slaves. And they knew that when the master of those households said to a slave, I want you to work in my field because you've got those gifts. And to others, I want you to work in my business because you've got those gifts. You've got a good head for figures and marketing. And to others, he said, I want you to work in my house. You're a good cook. You're a good maintenance person. But the owners of those slaves would assign work to their slaves as those men and women had the skill to serve. Paul is saying, that's all that's going on here. God has a place for me to serve in his kingdom. He's got a place for Apollos and Cephas and everybody else to serve. He goes on, each serves as the Lord gave him his role. I've got a role, Apollos has a role, Cephas has a role. We're just doing whatever God has created us to do. We're doing the thing that God has designed us to do. So we're not in competition with each other. He says, we serve as co-workers. See? We fit together, co-workers. The one who plants and the one who waters are united. To make his point, Paul uses two illustrations. He says, God has been using me as the planter, the fellow that sows the seed, a mission planter we talk about today. So I've been out there, I've been sowing the seed in Corinth and Ephesus and a bunch of other places. That's my job. Apollos, he's got a different job. He's the one that takes care of that seed. Once it starts growing, he waters it and cares for it. And if Paul would have extended his illustration, he might have said, and Cephas, then he comes along and he harvests. But it doesn't mean that Cephas is better than Apollos. No, we all have our different roles. His other illustration has to do with building. God has been using me to lay the foundation, Paul says. And then Apollos comes and he builds on it. And he didn't say this, but once again, if extended illustration, Cephas, once it's built, he takes care of the building. Separate roles, but we all have an important part to play. And that comes down to each one of us. And as we look around ourselves, we might think, but they've got so many more skills and abilities than I. Yeah, I just don't fit in anywhere. So, I don't know who the chairman of your congregation is, but I'm going to call him George. And let's say that you look at George and you say, wow, what a man of God George is. And leaders, people follow him wherever, and he knows how to plan and execute plans. And, oh, George, but I don't measure up. No, I'm not going to get involved because I just can't be like George. But you see, we don't have to be like George. We're co-workers with George. George has his thing to do. You and I, we got our rules. Co-workers. One plants, one waters, but we're united in advancing the gospel and sowing the seed of God's word as broadly as we can. So, we don't compare ourselves with others. What we do is take a look at who it is that God has made us to be, to take care of our role in the kingdom. So, you might not be the one who goes out in the garden in the spring, digs it all up, and puts the plants or the seeds in the ground. That's okay. You might not be the one who gets out there and waters those seeds, especially this time of year, so they don't dry up. You're the one that pulls out the weeds. You're the one that chases the chipmunks and the gophers away. That's okay. It's more than okay. That's who God has made you to be. Or maybe you're the one that comes about, starting about this time of year and goes out in the garden, you know when those little cherry tomatoes are ready to be picked. And a little bit later, you know when to harvest the corn. And you know when to pull up the carrots. All right, that's your role. God bless you. Do what God has created you to do. But maybe you're the one that doesn't mind being up to his elbows in cement and you're laying that foundation so it's nice and square and level. But not everybody can do that. Maybe you're the one that frames out the building, puts up the 2x4s, puts the roof on, puts in the electricity and the plumbing. Or maybe you're the one, once the building is up, you take care of it. But you see, one role isn't better than the other. They're all important in the kingdom. And God has made you for a special role there. A unique role. One that nobody else has. When St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, this is chapter 2, verse 10, we are God's handiwork. So in other words, he's created us for a special purpose, his handiwork. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, now watch this, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. From eternity, God knew that this day in July was going to happen. And he created you to be alive on this planet because he's got ways that he wants you to represent him here. There are things that have probably already happened to you today and things that are going to happen over the next hours that he's uniquely designed you to handle for him in his name. And the same thing's going to happen tomorrow and the day after and the day after until he calls you home to heaven. He's created us in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared in advance for us to do. He knew he needed somebody like you in the world today. And so he created you in your mother's womb, and he brought you into this world. He's giving you life's experiences and education and on-the-job training, and it's got you into his word, and he's given you relationships with other people, and he's brought you into this church because he's got a role for you here. You see, there should never be a time for us Christians when we say, oh, there's nothing I can do. Right? There is. No matter how old you are or how young you might be, Whether we've got an eighth grade education or a PhD, whether our bodies are whole or healthy and healthy or not, doesn't make any difference. God's got a will for us here and now. And you're alive today so that you can carry out that will. We, along with Paul and Apollos and every other Christian, are co-workers, united, so that we can sow the seed of God's word, like in Jesus' parable. But we do have to ask the question, so why do we do it? And I don't want any of you to go away this morning thinking, okay, I guess I gotta get busy and do something in the church or in the community or somewhere because God told me to do it. I gotta do it because God told me to do it. No, that's not our motivation. Paul talks about his motivation. In keeping with the grace of God given to me, in keeping with the grace of God given to me, as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation. Why? Why did he work so hard? Why did he troops all over the Roman Empire like he did? Why was it okay with him to be imprisoned at the end of his life and to lose his life in a Roman prison? Why was that? Because of the grace given to me. And he talks about where that grace came from. In keeping with the grace God has given to me, I laid a foundation. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Doesn't it seem to you that Paul was one of those people that if you spent 10 minutes with him, he's going to tell you about Jesus, right? I mean, Paul was just blown away by God's love that he knew he didn't deserve. I mean, he was the guy that was persecuting Christians. He was the fellow that was locking them up, that helped to be responsible for their executions. And yet, God brought him to faith in Jesus, forgave his sins. Paul's the one who says, I'm the chief of sinners, the worst of all sinners. When he wrote to the Romans, chapter 7, he says, I'm the most miserable of all people because of the sins in my life. And yet, what? God has still forgiven him. Who's going to deliver me, he asks. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And his answer is, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have those same sandals that we wear day after day, same spiritual sandals. People that God should have turned his back on and sent to hell, but instead, even though we could say about ourselves, we're the worst of sinners, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why we serve. We serve to say thank you, God, for the way you've loved us. Thank you. And because we serve that way, that also means that when we serve, we want to do the best job we possibly can. It isn't just that we just slap something together, we do it to get it done with. We're doing it as an act of worship. Once again, Paul says, let each person be careful how he builds. In keeping with the grace given to us, we build, raise the foundation, put up the 2x4s, put in the plumbing, whatever it is, whatever our role is. We do it in keeping with the grace God has given us in Jesus. But how do you know? How do you know how God wants you to serve? Can I give you five guidelines? A handful of guidelines. Here they are. What do you do well? Now, don't believe the lie that you don't do anything well. You do. Creating Christ Jesus to do good works, right? That's what God says. So what do you do well? Maybe other people can do it better than you. But what do you do well? Then you want some outside confirmation. What do other people say you do well? Here's the third thing. What do you like to do? Sometimes, but very rarely, God will ask us to do things we don't like to do. Usually, he sets us to work in things that we get great enjoyment out of. So, what do you do well? What do other people say you do well? Third thing, what do you like to do? And then the fourth thing is, where are the opportunities to serve? And by the way, we need to hunt for those opportunities. We don't just sit back and wait for the phone to ring and somebody say, hey, would you like to do this? No, we look for those opportunities. Sometimes we even create those opportunities. So what that means here in your congregation, probably you're going to want to wait until your pastor gets back, but call him up. Ask him, Pastor, this is what I do well. Other people say I do well. I like to do it. How can I plug in? And maybe, just maybe, Pastor Gowell is going to say, oh, boy, yeah, I don't know how that's going to work here at St. Andrew. But that's not something that is going to give you the indication that you should give up. You keep looking. You know what? This congregation is one of well over 1,000 Wells congregations across the United States. There are probably other congregations that could use the gifts that God has given to you. Find them. Again, don't just wait for congregation, wherever it would be, Palos Heights, say, oh, we could use somebody that... No, look for those opportunities. Say, you know what? If you can't find them there, then look in your community. All around you here in Chicago, I'm sure, just like in Milwaukee, there are all sorts of wonderful groups that are doing great things for people. So plug in more. Wouldn't that be wonderful for a Christian to live out his relationship with Jesus in that setting? To show Christians what it means to live for Jesus? And then as you have opportunity to tell them about Jesus? What do you do well? What do other people say you do well? What do you like to do? What are the opportunities? Number five is, can I do it to the glory of God? Now, plugging into a church's ministry, that should not be a problem. Can I do it to God's glory? But perhaps if you're looking out into your community, you're certainly going to have to ask that question. Because there are some groups out there, they are violating God's will. You don't want to be involved there. But for all those other groups, yes, this is a place I can plug in. What do I do well? What do other people say I do well? What do I like to do? What are the opportunities? Can I do it to God's glory? Folks, that's a good place for each of us to start as we're asking, how do I plug in? You see, we don't have to be like anybody else. God hasn't created us to be interchangeable parts. We be who God has made us to be. And we do it because Jesus is our Savior. Brothers and sisters, let's be about the task that God has designed us to do. Amen.